Craig Eddie, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Craig.
Shall we get the music bumping?
Bump it.
Let's bump it.
I said, tell me what's really going on. Drizzy back up in this thing, I'm ready. What's happening? Gone for surgery, but now I'm back again. I'm about my paper like a motherfucker scratch to win. World Series attitude, champagne bottle life. Nothing ever changes, so tonight is like tomorrow night. I will have a model wife. Your bitch is as hot as ice. Every time you see me, I look like I hit the lotto twice.
Drake, you got him right.
Yeah, I got him.
Hello.
I think that's good.
Welcome to episode 5 of
Wow. Episode 5.
Tennis podcast. We did 4.
Yeah.
For one Masters tournament and only one for a slam so far.
Well, we better get to it because this is a juicy one.
Yeah. So it's Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
The first half quarterfinals have been played. And it's been probably the craziest day of US Open since that Serena Naomi thing.
Yeah. And
in 2018, for sure.
Right. And I think even more so because it, in a sense, affected the outcome of the match untennis related, if that makes any sense. I mean,
what
I guess
the
Serena, I feel like the Serena thing would have, I think Naomi maybe would have won anyways. I mean, she did win.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
she was beating her already.
Yeah, she did win, in a sense. But
this one affected the whole tournament. This is not even the final. So,
yeah.
What happened today was Novak Djokovic, world number one, Mr. 28 matches unbeaten in a row, Mr. Undefeated this year, Mr. the only player left in the draw to have won a Grand Slam. I mean, he's just the absolute heaviest favorite possible for this slam.
Yeah, aka Mr. Crowned already, US Open
yeah,
champion.
He pretty much won this thing by entering it.
Yeah.
Like we were saying in the last podcast that the draw was as straightforward as can be, and it's actually been nothing but that from like the second round on.
Right. I guess that's so I feel like, you know, there are upsets every tournament, you know, but I think maybe going into 2020, we should have expected chaos in a sense.
This is
obviously
the most 2020 thing you can think of. This is so, like the definition of chaos here.
Yeah, exactly. So
you want to describe what happened?
So basically, I'm sure if you're listening, you already know what happened.
Yeah.
So this is us kind of recollecting our thoughts. This is the day of, and Djokovic. You know, he actually has done this, you know, he does this kind of a lot, not, you know, where he kind of just hits the ball willy-nilly. Maybe he's a little frustrated.
Yeah, lets out a little anger, you know, a little juices flowing, get those loose.
Uh-huh. He clocked the lines, Judge, straight in the throat.
He,
in the
360 no-scoped her. 360 no-scoped for sure. He was not even looking.
Mm-hmm.
He tapped it. I mean, he tapped it kind of firm. I wouldn't say it was hard, but it was firm.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of strength to hit a tennis ball.
It had decent pace on it, and it clocked this lines judge lady right in the throat, like the worst place to hit it. Literally the worst place. There's no worse place.
Yeah,
I mean she could have gotten hit anywhere else, and it would have been like a ow, but I'm okay. But she got hit in the throat. Like she fell to the ground. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and so I mean. Things
rules are rules.
Yeah, we've seen it, but we've, you know, seen it a little before where a judge gets hurt based on a player's actions. And I mean,
the last two times I could think of were Nalbandian in like 2011 at Queens, and he kicked the chair and it like made the umpire bleed.
Right.
And then apparently Shapovalov did it in a Davis Cup match where he got DQ'd for it. And he clocked the chair umpire. I never
that
saw that
bad.
Video. But this one was the same rule, but in like the most unfortunate circumstances, I think.
Yeah. Although,
the other two cases were like, you know, like intentional almost.
I mean, I wouldn't say intentional.
You know,
more,
you couldn't
more,
say it's
it was
intentional
more,
either.
it was definitely more of a, like, if you saw it, you're like, yeah, that person has to be DQ'd for sure. Because
then yeah, this wasn't as clear cut. Yeah. I mean, they were talking on court for like what felt like 20 minutes. And I mean, you knew that he was going to get disqualified, but you thought maybe there was a chance he could talk his way out of it, or it was an accident, you know, like.
Yeah, I will.
But rules are rules.
Yeah, I will say this is definitely if we're just talking about these three scenarios, this was the most tame, just because the Nalbanian one, I do remember. Yeah, you're right.
That one was bad. That one was bad.
Yeah, he was just, his leg was pretty cut up. And the Shapovalov one, I mean, both of them also unintentional, but he clocked the chair umpire in like,
oh, he hit him right in the eye. Yeah, what the heck?
He had full wailed that, like a forehand. And I honestly, it just went like haywire. And it really, you could hear the mic, because you know there's the mic on the chair umpire. It just went boom. Like, you could hear the huge story. And you're like, what happened? And then, I mean, but all of this unintentional, of course. I mean, the players obviously, one, would not jeopardize their chances to continue competing with something stupid like that. But, you know, I don't think they mean any malintent when they accidentally hurt a lines judge or an umpire or something. But yeah, I think... unfortunately, I think at the end of the day, it would be wrong to not DQ Djokovic. Like, it would give him too much, like, complain about him just because he's a bona fide star that he got away with it, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, rules are rules, and it was the right call. But man, was that was a trip. That was truly a trip to see.
Right.
Was the most 2020 way to have Djokovic go out. Like,
exactly.
The one slam where he's truly, like, guaranteed this slam. And fate would have it not that way.
And that it will lead to more everlasting consequences, because now we will obviously have a new US Open champion for what seems like forever.
And a new U.S. Open champion and a new Grand Slam champion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the last time we really saw someone besides Djokovic.
2014.
Mm-hmm.
2014 was the last time that a non-big big five with Stan in there.
Right.
The last person to win a slam, not those guys, was Cilic.
Right. Basically, and someone not born in the 80s, right?
To go before that. No, I think Cilic was 80s. There's been no 90s or 2000 slam winners. To go back before that, it was Del Potro in 2009, I think. I mean, we're talking like over 10 years here.
Yeah, over 10 years ago. I mean, I can barely remember that.
Yeah, so we have a lot of young players, too, in the draw left. Actually, almost all of them are young. This bottom half is super young. The oldest player in the bottom half is Pospisil. And then it's team.
Yeah, because the youngest, because anyone who's anywhere near Djokovic, even Djokovic, who's the youngest out of the three, anyone near their age has fizzled out at this point, basically. No,
dude,
they're not competing at a high enough level, you know?
You know what's trippy? The oldest players in this draw left are PCB,
right.
Pospisil, and team.
Right.
Team is one of the oldest players in the draw.
Yeah. Although he's not exactly young. He's not even next gen anymore.
Exactly.
He's 26 now? He just turned 26.
But still, he's 26 and in a quarterfinal / fourth round.
Right.
There's no one older than 26.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah. He's actually just 27, excuse me. He just turned 27. I remember
his birthday was this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like just like a couple days ago.
So but... very eventful and very consequenceful action by Novak today. Consequential, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
So PCB won 5-6 in the first set, 6-5 in the first set.
Mm-hmm. By default.
Played under him was Shapovalov Goffin.
Mm-hmm.
And Shapovalov lost the first set. He played better the whole first set. He had break opportunities in a lot of golf and service games and couldn't get them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws in just like the lousiest tiebreak, like just spray in errors, double faults, 7-0. Yeah. It was a shit show. And then he just like carried right on, and he actually capitalized on the breaks. You know, in the next three sets, he looked really good. He definitely was like out-winnering Goffin. I think in the first set, like Goffin had 14 winners to Schiappo's like three or something like that. It was like really overwhelmingly Goffin. And then at the end of the match, Schiappo had like double the amount of winners of Goffin.
I think, yeah, I will say it is a little surprising, but Schiappo has been playing well, better in the U.S. Open than he did in Cincinnati, I think. And yeah, he was playing decent in Cincinnati. He just kind of got an ugly draw against Struff, I think. I think Struff knocked him out in Cincinnati. Yeah, so, I mean, he's been playing a lot better since coming back from the break, in my opinion. And obviously, the one big disclaimer people had on him coming into, like, just coming out of the break was, is he going to continue being so inconsistent and just trying to make highlights, you know? But he's really shown that he can really compete, especially in a best of five set matchup, you know? I think that's really impressive
with him. Yeah, where he can kind of have his ebbs and flows and not affect the outcome of the match as much. Like, he can disappear for a set and then still have time to regroup and, you know, maybe pull it back together. Because fitness isn't an issue for him.
He's young. He's, I mean, I'm sure they're, all these players are, I mean, they've got to be in shape, really. I mean, you don't really see
all
that
of these guys left are actually, like, really fit players here, except, I mean, Pospisil, I don't know, but the other guys can run.
Yeah.
And they're so all young, and it's going to be interesting because their five set thing really isn't going to be as consequential as it is normally.
Right.
And like, if they play five sets the night before.
I mean, I think it's a big win for Shapovalov, but, yeah, this is the first time, if I correctly, he's made it to a quarterfinals first.
Yeah,
time. I mean,
first quarterfinal.
Must be. So, I mean, a big win, really.
Good on him.
I think he's someone you would eventually expect to make it this far to slam, of course, though. But you never, no one knows when sometimes.
And it's kind of a question of how consistent, like, you know, he'll go deep into a slam eventually, right? But how consistently will he go deep is the question. So this is very promising.
Yeah, and luckily for him, I think Goffin's a tougher matchup than PCB.
I think he's going to the semis. I think he's going to the semis for sure.
In a sense, luckily for him.
I would actually be disappointed if PCB was a US Open semifinalist.
That's the world we live in, where Paulo Carreño Busta could be a semifinalist at the US Open.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I guess in a sense, two people that we didn't even expect to really make. I mean, you might have said Shapovalov makes it to the quarters, but two people I will honestly say I did not expect at all in the quarters.
I think I had him losing to Goffin. I voted head over heart.
That's the head pick. That's the head pick.
Yeah, because I went heart picks before. And then,
should have thought with the other head, I think.
Yeah, this time I went with the head pick. Yeah, that's interesting. So our next two matches today were Chorich versus Thompson. Chorich beat him to smithereens. It was quick.
Right.
It was tidy. I mean, it was expected too. And then Zverev did the same thing.
Of course.
To I think it's Alexander Davidovich. Oh, Alejandro.
Yeah. Two players that I don't think anyone expected to make it even to the round of 16. So good on them to make it this far. Neither of us definitely didn't have. I mean, I think because in this, I think in at least the bottom half of the 16th, the David Alejandro Zverev matchup, I'm pretty sure we had Diego Schwartzman coming in on that 16th of the bracket. But of course, Diego got upset first round to Cameron Norrie, who eventually lost to Alejandro. But
yeah,
kind of in a sense, this 16th, that's where the big upset happened, was the first round. I mean, I'm sure Diego is kicking himself still to this day, losing to Cameron Norrie. But Cameron Norrie had a pretty good run himself, unexpected, at least to the round of 32, it looks like. Yeah, to round of three. So, I mean,
I feel like the Brits are all good enough to make it, like, deep into the first week at a slam, but I'd never pick any of them to be second week.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Evans, besides Murray, I guess, is really the only Brit that we give enough credit to, maybe.
But even he doesn't really do well at slams. Like,
that's true.
He looks like he'll go into like a quarterfinal at least, and then like he always runs into someone who's actually better than him.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize it until he runs into them and you're like, wait, why would I pick Dan Evans against Chilich or something like that, you know?
Right. I mean, he's been playing sharper recently, though, I will say. Putting himself a little bit on the map. So it's, I don't think it's an odd choice sometimes to pick him to
that's
win.
His next, some... That's his next step.
What is what?
Like getting deeper at the slams.
Yeah. I think that, unfortunately, that's a lot of people's. But I mean, in a term like this, I mean, I feel like this gives a lot of, you know, a lot of people, young, like a lot of the unexpected picks hope when, you know, a lot of the big names aren't here. I think this is their time to capitalize. But missing a lot of big names, missing a lot of names that kind of lost before Djokovic got eliminated, I think, which is, I'm sure they're telling themselves, like, why did I have to lose early in this tournament, you know, this time? But
yeah, this is the one where you need to capitalize on it if you ever wanted to slam.
Right.
Let's note here that we have George Thompson because George beat Tsitsipas in a 5-set thriller two nights ago.
That's right.
And Tsitsipas had like 6 match points in the 4th set. He was up 5-1. And
that's right.
I mean, he just lost it. And then the 5th set was in a tight breaker, and he just couldn't ever put it away.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I saw a stat also that said that besides his 2019 Australian Open semifinal run, he's never made it past the third round.
Really? Tsitsipas, huh? Or
besides that one run, he's never made it past. Oh, no, he never fourth round because he got to the French fourth round one time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
that is a little surprising, actually.
You would think he's gone a lot deeper.
Yeah, that's right. With how big his name is and how highly
he lost first round last year at both Wimbledon and the U.S. Open.
Man, I don't know. I mean, one, I guess kudos to Torich, really. I mean, a lot of people will.
That's a bad matchup for Tsitsipas, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of people will like not give Torich enough credit just because he's a little boring to watch. Kind of bunt the ball back a lot, but he's a solid player, really. And he will push those top players a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he just hits like a heavy stroke, and it's deep, and it doesn't have much pace on it, but like he's consistent, and he hits it deep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Maybe Djokovic-esque in that kind of sense, because that's what Djokovic does. Just really,
but even Djokovic is like powering it more. Like Djokovic is not even. I mean, he's hitting a heavy ball, but it's not a hard ball at all.
Yeah, but even that's good enough to really disrupt like an attacker like Tsitsipas, you know?
Yeah, because it gives him less openings, and he's also very fast, Djokovic.
But to save 6 match points is no joke, especially against a player like Tsitsipas. I mean. Maybe a lot of errors, obviously, with Tsitsipas, really, because a lot of the match points that he gave up were just George be able to just hit back the serve and just Tsitsipas just hitting a shitty forehand, really. A couple of those match points were just like that, where George has got the serve back. Not even a big serve, just maybe like a second serve. And Tsitsipas just, I don't know, couldn't keep it in play.
Yeah, just too many errors. Got to clean that up. He's got to be more consistent. And he's got I still think his serve is, actually, I really think as good as his forehand is, in my opinion, I don't think he really hits many winners off of it.
I mean, I actually like his backhand, weirdly enough, more than his forehand. His backhand, I think he almost loves it when a player will approach and hit to his backhand because he loves hitting those winners off his backhand, I feel like. He likes to pound that.
I would say he likes it more than his forehand. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I watch the highlights of him, it's usually him, he hits a good approach and he finishes the forehand at the net.
Ah, I see.
Like, I don't have many memorable forehands of his in my memory, which is, which tells me that maybe he doesn't hit the forehand, like, wild enough, I guess, sometimes. Like kind of like how Schapo is, where he'll really go for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, who you have in this quarterfinal match here, George Zverev?
Yep. Zverev, a little bit of an easy run for him, I think, as far as all things are considered. I mean, he played
Nobodies.
Yeah, he. I mean, he, obviously, we just talked about who he played about in the this round is round of 32 or round of 16. Excuse me. Kind of played an unseeded player. He played Manorino the time before that. I mean, sort of well known, but not too big of a player once again. So he's had a little bit of an easy run, I'd say. But he, at least, I feel as he hasn't at least struggled, which is a good sign to begin with. He's dropped a couple sets here and there. He dropped one to Manorino. He dropped one to Nakashima.
He tends to drop the first set.
Right.
And then he tends to get it together after that.
Mm-hmm. So, but at the end of the day, I will say it's a good sign that he hasn't struggled too much because, one, he shouldn't at the caliber of player he is. His hardest matchup was maybe, I mean, Manorino and maybe even, weirdly enough, Kevin Anderson in that first round matchup. But I think he's playing okay. We'll see, though, because really, Chorich is probably his first, I mean, I hate to say it, it's kind of rude to say it really, but quote-unquote real opponent in the U.S. Open. So we'll see how he plays. I mean,
So who do you have in that match?
Man, I am so hesitant to make predictions because at this point in time, like, is anything even going by logic slash, like, what should happen, you know? But if I had to choose one, I'm going to go Chorich because I think Chorich has just been playing actually really well. And I, one, don't like Zverev too much, but I think it actually will be pretty close. It might even go five sets.
I think it'll be a close one, too, because they play similar styles, like a baseline puncher kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I got Zverev. Because I think he can overpower Chorich at the end of the day.
Mm, yeah.
And I think, mean, he really likes the no fans.
Jared?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really been helping him as well. I think if anyone, he's the one who gets mentally, like disarrayed as far as the young guys. Sometimes he just gets in his head, honestly.
Him and Felix, they get the yips the worst for sure.
Mm, yeah, and you tell because both of them on their serve, which is probably the most mentally straining part sometimes. They just hit that double fault like it.
Yeah,
like
they love the BF button.
Yeah, they love the, it almost looks like they enjoy it too much sometimes in their matches.
They're like, oh, I only have five of those? Let me double that real quick.
Those are rookie numbers. Yeah. Those are rookie numbers.
Let me show you how it's done.
So I will say Zverev has been looking better than I usually give him credit for, so I think it'll be a good match. But Chorich, I mean, I don't know, man. He's pull some big wins, and I don't know. He looks like he's in a mentally good spot. So I will say,
I could see it going either way. I think if Zverev comes out there with the right mindset, I think he can win it. But if he shows any sign of mental weakness, Chorich is going to take it because Chorich is like a, you know, he doesn't let the moment affect him. He just plays his game, and you just have to beat him at his game.
I think he's a very typical, like, an Eastern European player where I feel like they're just bored in the cold. They're born and bred in the cold. And like they're stone cold at all times, I feel like.
That's true. They don't let little shit affect them like it does with the other people.
Yeah, so that's a weird thing I feel like I've noticed with a lot of those like Croatian, Serbian, Russian, like those guys.
Yeah, they're all like mentally like bowls, you know, super, super strong mentally.
Maybe it's just the environment they grow up, man. The Soviet ain't no joke. The Soviets.
Yeah. Ain't no pussies in these countries.
But I guess that's the top half of that's already been decided as of this pod.
Yeah.
Surprising, pretty much a little bit. Zverev is really the only one that I would have expected to make it this far.
I definitely did not think I would say Chapo or Carreño Busta, especially our slam quarterfinalists. But, you know, as much as that disqualification was shit, I mean, it was deserved, but it was shit. This is a very interesting slam now. I thought it might make it, like, not interesting, but being that almost every player in here left is, like, next gen, I mean, that's pretty fucking good. I mean, that's a good sign for tennis here.
Yeah, it's overall exciting as a spectator because I think you even said it right when we had looked at the U.S. Open draw, we did our bracket that you had.
We said it was like the most straightforward slam ever. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. You were just like, all right, Djokovic, to the end, just draw, yeah. just write his name and just draw a line to the championship.
I mean, honestly, if he didn't hit the line judge, it would be true. You know it. Like, that, this draw is so easy for Novak. But shit happens.
Yeah, and it's exciting as, I mean, both of us are Novak fans. So, in a sense, it's exciting to see a new winner. And, you know, if you're not a fan of...
my guy.
That's true. I think, do you have Chapo? I mean, I think we both have Chapo making it to at least the semis. He would play winner of Chorich and Zverev.
Chorich and Zverev. Oh,
you like
God.
His chances? You like his chances for either of them?
I think he's 30-70 against Chorich.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's like a 40-60 against Zverev.
Man, you really actually have him unfavored against Zverev even?
In a slam, yes, because I think Zverev actually does have. With Chapo, you just need him to start spraying, and I think Zverev actually plays such a safe game that he can actually make Chapo spray.
Spray and pray. Ball.
Yeah, spray and pray, pray and spray. I think. If Chapo plays a tight game, he can beat both these guys because these guys can't overpower him. He just has to make sure that he's not hitting it out himself.
Right. Yeah.
But
I mean,
I'm gonna say in the final, in the semis, I got Chapo versus Zverev, and I got this is so weird to say Chapo or Zverev to a final, but I'm gonna say Zverev to a final.
Yeah, I don't know yet. If as far as this top half, man, I don't know. I legit think that we will see Chorich in the finals, but
that hurts me to say. I don't want to see a guy who doesn't attack in the finals.
Yeah, we don't want to see a Djokovic Murray final.
I want tennis to always be a sport that favors attackers because that's what you want to see. You don't want to see unforced errors when you're watching tennis. You want to see winners.
True. It's true.
So I always go heart over head and hope that the winner guy gets a deep run.
Right. Well, we'll see. I think Chapo is probably a shoo-in, honestly, to get the semis. But I think based on what I see in the George Zverev matchup,
that's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah. I will probably just... I probably have
lots of long rallies.
Yeah, of the semis. But I guess as far as the quarters, they're not actually done yet. The second half has yet to be decided.
Uh-huh.
Bottom half here. And I think also, actually, there are unexpected players here that we had not making it this far also. I mean, I think, honestly, I hope we don't just suck at it, but everyone does at predictions in these kind of situations because...
I think players the one mad, I'm most like surprised by is there's two in this mm-hmm. half of the draw. There's TFO.
Yep.
And there's Pospisil.
Yeah, the two unseeded players basically
and
here.
I think everyone else, we essentially picked. I think I had Murray beating Felix, which was stupid in hindsight. And I had Khachanov beating Demonar, which it was close, but you got that one right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It's just so crazy to think that my at least my most recent perception of Demonor is in that ATP Cup where I honestly thought he played very, very well. Like he really showed his heart, which he showed in the catch-up match too, where down 2-1 and really fought his way back. Like he is a warrior at heart, you know? And I like that about him. And I think he's not as I mean, I know you think he's like he doesn't have enough strength behind his ball, you know. But I think he slaps the ball fairly well, in my opinion. He slaps you're right. I think he doesn't hit as hard as he should probably, but I don't think I don't think he gives too many short balls or too many weak ones, in my opinion. Not enough where I think that would be the main reason he loses, I guess. I don't know. I think he'll lose in other ways, just unforced errors and stuff, but, okay. Yeah, he doesn't. Messing up. You got charge on the mind, man. No, you have been, I think, a little mixed up. It's, well, I guess starting from the top, it's actually Berrettini and Rublev. Yeah, so I guess maybe let's work our way down. First match. He is playing Pospisil, actually, which is, yeah. So I guess let's start with Berrettini and Rublev, which, I mean, I think everyone should have expected him to make it. I think we at least had that, well, make it this far, because, I mean, both, clearly the best players. And honestly, after seeing some of the, like, seeing how they both have been playing, I've been pretty harsh on Berrettini, but I think he's actually been playing really well. I think he only dropped one set on the way here. Rublev has also actually been playing, but I think we understand how well Rublev can play in a sense. Like, we both kind of like Rublev, I want to say, as far as a player. But I'm trying to look here. Rublev, I don't think he's also dropped a set, which makes me believe. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, Rublev, like, he really pounds the ball. And that's what is so entertaining about watching him, because he rips the ball. You know, you just hear this grunt. He grunts at every point. He's like yelling, and he just rips the ball. But Berrettini actually is no slouch. He's really kind of proven himself a little bit this past, you know, year. Like, and, you know, he did well at the US Open last year, I believe, right? Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, man. I actually think I would, in a sense, my heart wants to take Rublev, but my head wants to take Berrettini, because I think Berrettini will probably actually end up winning this match. Berrettini's actually shown that he's played pretty well. Yeah, but if you have to choose when Berrettini is, I mean, he likes to come to the net. He likes to attack. And so I don't know if that'll pose a problem for Rublev, honestly. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually think Berrettini's bulky, man. He's like one of the, he's actually really one of the stockier. Yeah, one of the stockier players. Dude, I think he's stockier than Stan Wawrinka, honestly. He's one bulky Italian. He's been eating Alfredo and breadsticks. Yeah, I think he's one player that, you know, the more I look at it, the more I don't know what other people's views on him are, besides you, but I think we both share kind of the same sentiment that, like, we think he's good, but not, I don't think, like, not a good to win a slam, basically, is what we're trying to say. But, I mean, making these consistent results, you know, maybe things like this happen, right? And he really could push himself to the very end. Who really knows, right? It's possible. Really? Okay. Well, I guess we can move on. I see. Well, I think I might know who you're talking about here, but the next one, another surprise, or actually, sorry, I guess we had mentioned Pospisil already, but TFO, which there's no way neither of us had him making it this far. Yeah, I rarely think I ever pick him. Don't pick him. Right. I mean, I think because, you know, both of us are, he's definitely just, well, we had Vucevic beating Dimitrov because he had beat him already at Cincinnati. Yeah. I wouldn't say the hardest run for TFO to this point. Millman probably is best, the best player he's ran into so far, which he won in five sets. After being down, actually, also 1-2. But I think TFO is one of those names that you also hear, you know, maybe not on the same caliber as, like, Felix, but just, like, a player who's young and people have high expectations for, you know? And then he kind of just – he, if anyone, if out of these young players, he disappeared, like, basically out of anyone's view for a while. I mean, no one really heard of him for a while. He might have even been playing Challenger Series and stuff. Yeah. For a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, to be zoning, really, I mean, that's, it's good to see a young player really find their groove and know that they could play at their potential, because all these young players, yeah. And I feel like yeah, it's just a grip he uses. I don't know, some continental grip. I have no idea what he uses, but it just looks kind of funky. Why does it look like he's a little bit, I guess. It just looks like he's turning his, because with a Western, you kind of have to turn your wrist, like, exaggerated almost to put any spin on it. But, yeah, I mean, good for him. But unfortunately, he has a tough matchup, especially for, like, a player like him, because TFO, as far as if I had to categorize him, he actually does like attacking. He likes coming to the net. And, like, really, that's where I think he excels, actually. That's where he probably, like, he will really put pressure on his opponent to win points, is when he just comes to the net. Because he actually volleys pretty well, in my opinion, you know? And that's where he could TFO. Yeah, that's. Yeah, he is deceptively fast. He is actually lengthy, though. He is like, if Slenderman was like a real person, they would use Dem Medvedev's like body as a blueprint. Like if there was like a Chernobyl version of Slenderman, they would literally bring Medvedev to like scan him for a blueprint for like the Slender Man like movie or something. I mean, Medvedev, we all know how solid he can be. plays very defensive. You're right. He stands about 85 feet behind the baseline. And he basically bats the ball like it's a baseball. Like his, he basically just, he, like golf, actually. It's more like golf. Like he literally swings like a pendulum almost sometimes, like how he hits the ball, like his backhand, especially, I think. So it's just be a, as far as like this actual round of this quarter fine. Actually, sorry, this round of 16 matchup. Yeah, it seems like a clear cut Medvedev victory, honestly. Well, one, I know Medvedev hates long matches. I mean, I guess if you could draw it out, he just tends to lose power, and because the way his play, you know. Right, but there's a certain point, like a certain limit he'll hit, you know, where he will get tired. I mean, just the way he plays, like he can't do that forever, in a sense, is what I'm trying to say. And you bring it to five sets, grueling 3 hour, like bring it to 3 hours, I think he'll get tired. I mean, it's hot out there in New York, I'm sure, right now. So, yeah, I literally think that's how, because that's how Nadal has beat him before. He beat him at the U.S. Open last year like that. Nadal played a five-setter with Medvedev. And Medvedev has even said that he doesn't like long matches. And, I mean, I don't think TFO, yeah. I mean, I think he hopes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he just hopes that the players, they just mess up. You know, that's how, I think it's how it's gotten by a little bit. It's just, he'll just keep rallying with you until you just hit into the net, you know? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, if TFO, I mean, that's TFO's game a little bit, but we've seen, I almost think Medvedev likes being, like, he, like, it's a trap. Like, I think he's already, yeah, because once he gets the ball, like, he likes being, like, yeah, be able to, like, kind of pick and choose where he puts the ball, especially if you can get there early enough, you know? So, I mean, if we could just look at the most, yeah, that's true. I mean, if we just look at his most recent loss, aka was to PCB, not PCB, to Robert Bautista Agut in Cincinnati. And I mean, we already know how Bautista Agut plays. He honestly just plays pretty passive as far as, maybe his forehand is his biggest weapon, but like, yeah, and I think that's just how you beat Medvedev, in the sense that you have to be just as patient as Medvedev is and really just play smart. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just how I think Bautista Agut honestly will beat Medvedev more times than he'll lose. Like, honest, like just the way they play, right? I think so, but I think Bautista Agut just got this weird, I don't know, we'll talk about it later, but something about this Canadian, whatever these Canadians are drinking, because they've got superpowers, right, at this point in time. I don't know, they've got the secret to making it this far, but yeah, Michael's secret stuff. So, yeah, I think we've talked to death about Medvedev probably going to win and make it to the quarters. Go ahead. Yeah, he would. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going four sets. I think Berrettini will probably be okay, honestly, throughout the entire match.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I agree. Yeah, three sets. Uh-huh. Yep, back to that. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. I actually think it was pretty good. Yeah, four? Maybe four? Let me take a look here. I think it might have been in four, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I've completely marked him off of my radar as far as singles.
Because, I mean, I think he's had those string of injuries. He just came off like a surgery, I think. It's got to have been within the past year. Yeah, and... yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, he was never really a top player before that. And so... it was hard to convince anyone really, I think, that he would come back from a surgery even healthier and be able to be a force, if that makes any sense. Like, coming out of surgery won't make you better. Like, no one expects to be even better than they were, just at the least the same level kind of thing. That's at least my opinion on it. And he's played, I mean, yeah, he's clearly played out of his mind. If he didn't have to play Raonic in the second round, we might have seen four Canadians in this round of 16, honestly.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, now he's actually playing another very young guy, Dimonor, who has some, you know, some good big wins. Like, obviously, the Khachanov one. He played Gasquet, which is, I mean, he's getting up there in age, but I want to say a rollover opponent. And so that Pazis is not that young. So he's kind of playing a young guy in a sense in this semifinals matchup. Semifinals, round of eight matchup, or round of 16. Sorry, round of 16. So. I mean, I actually don't really know what to expect from this at all. I don't even... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think, man, this is a matchup that. Yeah, I think this is a matchup that no one has. I mean, have they even played each other before? I mean, their time in singles hasn't really overlapped very much. So, let me see if yeah, let's take. I mean, I think it's a tough one. Yeah, I think Diminar is still the better player. Honestly, I'm still high on Diminar, and I want to say I'm probably gonna take Diminar in four. Probably, I think Boston's been playing really well, but I think Diminar, man, I don't know. That guy is a fighter, and he might just be too much for Boston. But Boston has some big wins, so it's hard to tell. Maybe Diminar in five then. But yeah, I'll go Diminar in five. I'll give Boston his credit. I mean. All I know about it is that he sometimes will drink maple syrup on the court. Have you seen that? Yeah, he's true Canadian. He's true Canadian, bro. Maple syrup runs in this dude's veins. And I think he's feeling himself after the Players Association stuff. What was? I just think he's feeling himself, man. That Players Association with Djokovic out, he's the remaining, you know, he's kind of like the head figure, man. He's got a. He's Canadian, bro. That shit's like water. That's the Canadian water. Oh yeah, just because he's got maple syrup. I'm pretty sure Dimero's got his Australian snacks, and he's got, you know, Vegemite. Yeah, Vegemite and toast. All right, well, that'll be a weird one, I think. Yeah. Well, there's only one more match that we haven't talked about here, and unfortunately for me, as being a team fan, this is not who I want to see him playing, I think, in the round of 16. Yeah, I've caught watching him a little bit, but I mean, I like him so much, but he has just not looked at all like himself obviously in Cincinnati, where he got blown out first round, but also just in these three matches he's played so far. I mean, honestly, two pretty easy first matches, and then against Cilic, which I should have been a three-setter. Cilic has been struggling. I mean, I ended up going four. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like a juxtaposition where I mentioned earlier, I think we talked about it earlier off screen here, but that team and Felix, where, you know, team is the better player, but he's been underperforming, while Felix is, like, obviously not as highly regarded as team, but he's been playing out of his mind. So, you know, it's like the thresholds. Yeah, this is exactly what people who have been preaching Felix's name for a while have been waiting for, in a sense. This is what the potential that we've seen him, like, people have been waiting for when they've been, like, high on this young guy. And so, you know? Yeah, it does. It's at its peak, and when he's really feeling it, and kind of not really thinking, I want to say. He's probably not really thinking much, just playing. Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, I'm not counting team out yet. I you know, we're praising Felix and everything, but this is not a easy, I want to say this is an easy match for Felix. Could easily go four or five sets, I mean, because, and team, more than anyone, really does like to grind out match, like play at the baseline and hit as hard as you can. Like, team does love to do that at the end of the day. So, I mean, if both players kind of continue playing at the trend they have been, this will actually be, I still think it'll be pretty close, even though, I mean, a team, a little disappointing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, so I, as far as if we're going to make a prediction here, I mean, you know what? My first head, my top head, and my bottom head want to say team. I think team will beat Felix in this. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I think team should put away Felix. He really and. I will say, because I think team, weirdly enough, does play, he plays down and up to his competition. Like, he's a player that does do that, which is a curse, really. Should always be playing at your best, but he does do that. And, I mean, I'm hoping he's realized how well Felix has been playing and really steps up his game and gets ready for tomorrow's match. I mean, I really hope he does. But anyways, what about you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would take team in four as well. I'm surprised that you, I mean, the Felix train is up and going, man. You don't want to jump on? You sure? It's departing. It's departing. Uh-huh. I see. Well,
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see, I guess. It's about a half we'll play tomorrow. Yeah. I think exactly. Now that you know that whoever wins these matches, it doesn't matter, because before we just like it doesn't matter. Djokovic will beat whoever comes out of this bottom half. Yeah, now it's refreshing to see that whoever makes it out here, I mean, has a possibility. I mean, this seems like this bottom half is a little bit more stacked than the top half. So whoever comes out of this bottom half quite possibly could be the one who wins. So I guess we'll see. So we'll see. I mean, the biggest hitters, of course, Team and Medvedev are still here. And really, no one is really too much of a slouch. I mean, if they made it this far, and no one's really a slouch, I think. So it'll be interesting to see. It's true. It's true. Well, you know, I gotta see my boy though. My boy Dami. My boy Dami. I want to see him. Maybe they'll put an asterisk next to his name, you know, who knows? But he could be the one to, I mean, people would have already bet on this, that he would be the first one out of the big three to probably win a slam. I think a lot of people would have said that actually. It might have been Roland Garros where they'd have, if Nadal, nah, well, not true, because Nadal would probably win till he's basically in his grave. I mean, team has put up just big. I mean, we can even just look at the Australian Open. That happened earlier this year. I mean, if Djokovic wasn't a thing, he would have won, right? So I think I want to say team. Oh, man, but his play has been lackluster. It's just so hard. It's just like my heart seems to be failing on me. I mean, having cardiac arrest just thinking about team trying to win this whole thing, which I think he should be able to do, but. So I will say team, reluctantly, I will say reluctantly. Oh, sorry. The other finalist is, dude, I'm actually going to say, you know what? I said Chorich before, right? I think I did say Chorich. I'm gonna go Shapovalov. I'm gonna take Shapovalov and team. Yeah. I'm going Shapovalov. Yeah, exactly. Are you going team to make it to the finals as well, or are you going someone else? I have Team Chapo with team winning it all, I think is what I'm saying. Dude, he can do it. He can do it. He really can do it. Like, it wouldn't be out of the realm to say, like, if I went up to a guy who, let's say he watches some tennis, I'd be like, hey, yo, Dennis is making it to the finals of the US Open. The guy would not full out assault me there, I think. Yeah, like, if I, like, right now. Yeah. I don't think so. You're getting the yips. I really think that I hope it doesn't go to his head, one, that he's like, oh my God, I don't have to play Djokovic. I think that's a little bit of worry that he's thinking. He feels like, you know how, you know, this happens all the time. Players like relax a little bit, realizing who they're playing when they expect someone else, right? And so I'm hoping it doesn't go to his head, right? But if it doesn't, I think he should beat Karina Busta. And if he's gonna continue praying for who he plays in the semis, I think he's probably actually looking to play Zverev instead of Coric. Not Chorich. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, the rest of the I this rest of this finals or rest of this open is so much more entertaining a little bit.
not to be really mean to Djokovic and his legacy and all his fans, blah, blah, blah. But I think the fact that he got kicked out really means so much more for these players still in it, and also for just like the people watching, all the spectators. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to do one? Yeah, that'll work. Okay, and then, yeah, let's do that. So semis ends on Tuesday this week. Thursday. Oh, and then they'll play the final on. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. I'm gonna try to watch. Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I will see how much I can catch of these matches tomorrow. I hope I can catch a good amount of them. We'll see. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep.
I don't think so. I think now everyone's just
breaths awaiting, waiting for the next Masters to be played, really, at this point. Yeah, that's true. The time difference is so fucked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. This week.
Sounds good. Later.